Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But today we're going to be going into an arena of understanding and even expertise. Are you interested in finding a new job? Have you been laid off? Are you in a questioning mode about perhaps you're in the wrong place? What can you do? What should you do? Has the world of job hunting changed very much? If so, what can we do to adapt? Does your age make a difference? Well, these questions and more are going to be answered by our guest today, Abby Kohut. And Abby is a woman that has a background in job recruiting and much more. Abby, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Now, Abby, you are a woman that has, well, you've got an entrepreneurial temperament, and you're the lead consultant and president of Staffing Symphony, which is a staffing, consulting, and expansion company. But your background really sort of led you up into this because you have been a recruiter and you have been involved with networking groups, which I'm sure when people hear that, they go, oh, please, is this going to be something again on networking? Oh, Jesus, I'm so sick of that. I just want to find a job. So your book, when I went through it, you addressed so many different components. And I thought with your skill and background, experience in recruiting, which is on the other side of the fence, a lot of people never, ever go through, it really gave you a very balanced positioning. Because you're saying I'm coming from the positioning of being a recruiter because I know how to do that, and also the person that has been out job hunting. And let me ask the question, do you think that hunting for work is very much different, let's say, from 20 years ago? I had someone just mention to me this morning, oh, it's a lot tougher finding a job today, and I thought, wait a minute, you can look at different times in history where jobs were hard to come by. Is it really more difficult today to find work?
Well, the reason it's more difficult is because there are more people out there searching. So there's about 14 million unemployed people, but there are 3+ million jobs available. And the reason it's more difficult is because of the competition. So you have to find a way to differentiate yourself from the crowd. And that's why it's more difficult, because you really didn't have to do that. I know back in, I guess it was 97 when I was looking for a job, and I would send out 20 resumes, and I would get 10 phone calls, and then I would have 5 interviews, and I get 2 offers. That's usually what it was like back then. But it's really just not like that now. You send out a lot more than 20 resumes.
All right. Now, one of the conversations I have had with different people of various age groups, I have this education. I invested tens of thousands of dollars. I have a master's in this. I have a PhD in that. And they're driving a shuttle bus. This is something that I heard a conversation about just over the weekend, watching a program where they were discussing how education, we have to look at it from a different perspective. And you've just mentioned 14 million people looking to fill 3+ million jobs that are available. It is a challenge. What was it that when you found yourself putting this book together, I'm sure your mind was going in 10,000 different directions. How were you able to pull together this succinct information that you've got here? You start right off in your book talking about designing a career vision board. Now, my audience is very familiar with vision boards or, you know, whatever it is that you dream of, put it up on your board. Why did you start off with this in particular?
Well, I really do believe that in everyone's heart, they know what they should be doing. And I think people just sort of get wrapped up in their career. They sort of let their career take them where it ends up. And that's what happened to me at the very beginning. And, you know, I got into sales by accident. Then I got into human resources by accident. Everything was by accident. And then it was deliberate that I became a speaker and an author. But I believe if you put up a vision board and you know where you want to go, then you just have to figure out how to paddle along to get there. And that's why I started with that. But I also start in my book about being the captain of your own career, in that it's just really important to take control and to navigate the waters towards where you really want to go.
I like the statement, because I have used this statement with people many times: focus on your strengths. Mm-hmm. We typically can be so critical of ourselves, and it's very difficult for us to look at ourselves as others would see us. And I think that that is a challenge. But as you said, if we really dig down deep inside of ourselves and we ask ourselves what we really like, then and what brings us joy, it could be anything from tuning guitars to bicycling through Paris. It could be designing the next big space shuttle to go into outer space. It doesn't make any difference. It's what is it that when we're doing it, that we just, there's a almost like an energy that goes through. It is an energy. It's something that is a spark that just is invigorating. And I think that's something lots of times we separate ourselves from, because we think that that isn't the real thing. We're supposed to be in environments. We've got to make it, you know, have a job. We've got to pay the bills. All of that is true. But I think when we can see areas that pull certain things out of us consistently, and we're there, we're performing, we're doing, and there's joy, it really makes a difference. One of the tips that you give, which I think is an excellent one, and I can cite a number of experiences where people did this, and they were able to move forward, and that is accepting a temporary or a consulting assignment. Now, this I'd like you to elaborate on, because it's just, it's awesome. You never know what door is going to open for you.
Yeah, my experience with this has been life-changing. And what happened is, in 2005, I was downsized from a company where I thought I was going to retire. And a headhunter called me and said, I have a contract job. It's for 3 months. It's in New Jersey, and it's in the pharmaceutical industry. So I said to my husband, number one, I don't want to work in New Jersey because I'm a Manhattan girl. Number two, I don't want to work in a contract. That's not a real job. And number three, I don't want to work in the pharmaceutical industry. It's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to take the job anyway. And the reason, I figured if it's 3 months and I hate it, it'll be over in 3 months, right? So I took the job, and wouldn't you know it, after 1 month, they hired me permanently. And that particular person that hired me has now hired me another 3 times in my career. So I've been a consultant ever since approximately 2006. I went out on my own. And that very person has hired me 3 times since then. So that was a really good decision for me. And I really do believe that temping and consulting is life-changing if you decide to make it that way. And don't think of it as it's not a real job. Definitely think of it as it's an opportunity to learn something new and to meet some great new people and to try out some new skills, possibly.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now let's talk about a little bit about some very practical things, resumes. I have to chuckle when I go into FedEx. I always see rows of stationery, and it's labeled resume stationery. Look at this, and I go, oh, that is one thing that has never changed. You want to be sure you present yourself well. Now, we're dealing with electronic technology today in a way that 5 years ago wasn't even really perceived by a lot of people as a necessity. Let's talk about resumes, and also how can you present yourself through the electronic media? Let's cover some of these points, because you bring up some things about fax machines, telephone calls, and some other stuff that's old-fashioned, but it does work. Mm-hmm. So let's cover those points.
Okay, well, the thing with the resume is that it used to be important to make sure that it looked good, so that the paper that you were seeing in the store, that resume paper is still useful for when you're going on an interview. But the problem that the job seekers today are having is getting the interview in the first place. So the way the resume looks is not really as important as what it says and what's on it and the content. And there's something called keywords. And so what happens is when you design a resume, you want to make sure that you get these words from the job descriptions that you're applying for, because these are the words that recruiters are going to plug into their computer in order to find you. So you want to make sure your resume is covered and filled with those keywords. And
give us an
so
example.
Sure. Well, let's say that you are in, you're in IT, and one of the programs that you use is SAP. So you want to make sure that not only do you have the word SAP on your resume, you want to put it there multiple times, because the way that the systems work these days is the resumes that match that keyword. So if I put in SAP and you have it three times, you'll show up at a certain point. But if you have it five times on your resume, you show up higher than your competitors. So these keywords are vital for your success nowadays.
Let's talk about email addresses. These little tiny things can really make a difference. And you talked about it's best for you to use your name like John Doe at yahoo.com or hotmail.com. Don't use discoking.com and things like this. This is something so many people are not thoughtful of. They think being cute is fine. Well, that's for your personal email. But when it comes to a professional image, people in business, they're having a tough time right now. They don't want to waste their time or their money with someone that is going to be flippant or disrespectful. They want someone that's really going to work for them, because that is money that's going out. And that sounds rather hard and rather crass maybe to some, but it's a reality. Why are they going to give time to you because of this when they have someone else that's going to be able to present themselves well? That's very important. Let's talk about the electronic media and using that.
Yeah, so definitely the email addresses. So my favorite one is something like hotchick@yahoo.com. I mean, it's just, you need to be very professional when you choose these things. I remember right after 9/11 that I received a resume from somebody, and I don't exactly remember what the email address was, but it was something with the word terrorist in it. So it was like terrorist, New Jersey terrorist at yahoo.com. I mean, that resume went in the trash. There's no way that I would bring somebody in. I mean, there's just, it's just that sort of thing is not professional, and it's making fun of the terrorists. I mean, that's just not so good. So there's that. But also, there's something that's relatively new that I've been hearing, and there are people that will say that if your email address is an AOL email address, that it sounds like you're an older person, because the more hip email addresses are Gmail and Yahoo and even Hotmail. So I can't say that I care whether your email address is an AOL address, but I've heard this. So I'm just kind of putting it out there that if you have an AOL address, you may want to change it to one of the others.
Isn't that amazing? To me, that wouldn't be that significant, but there again, there is perception. So if someone is an older individual and they are looking for work, which there are many, and they are wanting to find work, then shift away from an AOL to Hotmail or Yahoo. Now, education. This is something when people are doing their resumes, you want to put down information. I find it interesting. You say a one-sheeter, it's fine for a younger person because they haven't got that much experience. But if you're going to send somebody a resume with your background and your experiences, it's not going to be one page. It's going to be a couple of pages. And you talk about how to list education, or if you are a mother and you have stayed at home, let's say for 5 or 6 years, and now you're getting back into the workplace, how can someone present information on their resume without damning themselves?
Well, the first thing, if you're a mother, and if even, well, let's just talk about mothers. If you're a mother and you've been out of the workforce for 4 years, you think that you've been unemployed for 4 years, and I'd like to help you with that because you've been employed in the hardest job there is, and you haven't been paid for it, but that doesn't mean you've been unemployed. And there are many people out there that have been unemployed in their own mind, but have been doing volunteer work all over the place. They work for Habitat for Humanity or the Red Cross, and they think they're unemployed. And I remind them, no, you're not unemployed, and don't think of yourself that way. But if, let's say you're a mother, you can actually put in there, you can call yourself a domestic engineer, for example, as your title. And you can list all of the experiences that you've had as a mother that relate to your professional background. So you can talk about your organizational skills, you can talk about your multitasking and your party planning and all those kinds of things, if that relates to your industry. And don't be ashamed of that. That's a fabulous job that you did. So, but there are ways to organize your resume as to, like, when you mentioned education. Sometimes you put it at the top, sometimes you put it at the bottom. It really all depends on what your particular situation is.
You bring out a point also that I think is very significant. Many times employers are looking for work experience, and that you have a master's degree in administration work might be wonderful, but they might want to know if you have worked for a company, if you have been an entrepreneur, what is it that you have done? They're really interested in practical experience. They're not trying to get someone to reinvent a wheel. What they're trying to do is find out someone that's going to fit best with their environment. How can someone utilize that effectively and well, especially if maybe they've not gone to college? Maybe they've been out working in different environments, hands-on experience. What would be the best way for them to present themselves?
Well, you definitely want to talk about what you've accomplished, and you kind of have to explain to the employer. You have to translate what you've done. It's very similar to people in the military when they get out and they've had all this military experience, and now they want to work in a civilian position. And they have to be able to explain what job that they had. Like, let's say they were working on building a rocket ship. How does that relate to this other job in the civilian world? And it's the same thing if you're transferring industries. So if you're in manufacturing and now you want to go into pharmaceuticals, you have to be able to explain it, because the employer is not necessarily going to take the time to figure that out. So it's really, it's your job to come up with that explanation of how that works. But it really is. I mean, employers are definitely looking for experience. However, usually the people that get hired are going to be the people that have the best fit with the company, even if they don't have all the experience.
Social Security numbers and one's birthday. There have been so many laws and regulations that have been put into place, and it's gotten to the point with Social Security, people get very, very demanding about this, and it's something you don't have to give. Would you go into that? I found that section quite interesting.
Sure. Well, what happens is, in the olden days, you would go in for an interview, and they would hand you a physical application, and you would fill it out, and if it said, what's your Social Security number, you would just not fill it in, and when you got into the office, you could say, I prefer to give this to you when you do my background check. That's why we're looking for social and birthday. It's not because we want those pieces of data, it's because we use them to do your background check. And so, in the olden days, you had this application, and you could say, I'm not going to fill this in. But nowadays, applications online are sometimes asking for those piece of information, and you do have a choice. So one choice is you could fill in a bunch of zeros for your Social Security number. The problem with that is if the person on the other side gets a bunch of zeros, they might feel that you're just disrespectful of authority, and they may just disregard you. So you have a choice. If you don't want to give that social and it's online, you may have to just walk away.
All right, yes, because there is the factor of potential hacking. Systems get broken into every day, and social security numbers are taken, and other information as well. So that's something you have to make a choice about, and you cover that quite adequately. Posting online. This is common. People will post for jobs all over the place. What are the pluses and the minuses of posting online?
Okay. So if you ask any headhunter, now the headhunters are the people that get paid by organizations to go headhunt you from a company. If you ask a headhunter, they will tell you that you should not post your resume online because then headhunters will not want to represent you. If you ask me, I'm a corporate recruiter, and if I was looking for a job today, I would post my resume everywhere I could find to post it. And the reason I say that is because you don't know which job boards companies are using. And if you choose to post your resume on Monster but choose not to post it on CareerBuilder, the company you're interested in might be using CareerBuilder. So it's best to put it everywhere so you can make sure you can be seen by those companies. And again, you don't know which companies are using which boards.
You talk about in the 90s, the good old days, as you like to say, that when you were involved with reviewing resumes, people, that you often carried like as many as 200 resumes with you, and you would flip through them. And you said, I'd get stuff every day in the mail. That has changed quite a bit. But you're saying someone can take a different positioning and actually, you know, posting online is great, but maybe taking the time to actually send a resume via snail mail or use a fax or even pick up a telephone. Boy, can that make a difference.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you what. I've been doing some consulting for the past few years, and I can tell you, in the past 3.5 years, I have received zero faxed resumes. And when you think about that, if you faxed me your resume, I guarantee I'm going to see it. Whereas if you post it online or if you answer an ad and put your resume into the abyss, there's really no guarantee that I'm going to see it. So I tell my job seekers to do these kinds of things, to fax their resume, to mail their resume. But what's going to be very, very important if you're going to do this is to determine who the hiring manager is. Sending these things to HR is only going to annoy us because we like to keep you in our little box. And if you go outside the norm, then you're not going to be in our box. But the hiring manager, that person wants to see your creativity. That person wants to see what you bring to the table. And if you get your resume to that hiring manager via email, via mail or fax, there's a really good chance that person will walk over to me and say, please bring this person in. They're fabulous. They found my name and they sent me the resume in the mail. Please bring them in. And then HR will have no choice but to actually bring you in.
You have some excellent stories in here on etiquette and on a woman you actually were excited about interviewing. And when you actually saw her in person, she didn't have a hope or a prayer of getting a job with you. Let's cover the points, because this was a person that fit all the criteria on paper, but not in person. Let's cover that.
Well, it's very interesting. People will put all kinds of things on their resume, but then when they come in, they don't exactly have what they said they had. Or they don't dress appropriately. They don't look the part. And part of when you come in for the interview, it's really about looking the part and sounding the part and fitting into the company. So you have to have your ducks in a row. If you say on your resume, I'm an expert in Microsoft Word, you have to be able to prove that. So you have to be able to give examples of how you're an expert in Microsoft Word. You have to wear the clothes of somebody that would look like they're an expert in Microsoft Word. And this comes up all the time. So people will come up with these crazy things on their resume, and then they come in and they're just not the same person that they said they were. And that's very frustrating, very frustrating.
It is frustrating, and that brings to a point, above all things, do not lie about what you're capable of doing. You talk about a woman in your book who was hired. She had a beautiful resume. They hired her. She was doing a fabulous job, and then she became a bit gabby and told a fellow worker that she had lied about everything on her resume. They fired her. Immediately, she had violated trust. Now, someone may say, oh, well, that's not right. She shouldn't have been fired. If she was doing everything she said she was doing and was outstanding, let's touch on that, because the lying does make a difference.
Oh, it's huge. And so this person was working for a very senior level person, and they came in, and it was an administrative assistant, and they came in, and they had completely crafted their resume to look like they had done all these different administrative assistant jobs. And they came in and they told their friends at the company that they had completely fabricated the stories and that they had used their friends for references. And, that really wasn't too smart. If you're going to do something like this, don't go and tell everybody about it. But at the same time, integrity is really the number one thing these days for companies. So you want to be honest about what you've done. And if you're not honest, then be prepared to be found out at some point. The web is a very interesting place, and people can find out all kinds of things about you. So if you lie in person, make sure that your story is the same everywhere else, because someone's going to catch you. And if they don't, and in this case, she managed to get herself caught by speaking. So
it was
crazy, and we were so bummed because she was so good at what she was doing.
Well, the thought
but
would
we
come
had to get
up.
Rid of her.
Right. It's a shame we can't apply that to we don't apply the same standards of expectation from the leaders that supposedly we have so much in the press about today that are doing exactly that. So it's holding people accountable. And the base of that is, if you have lied to me about all of this, and you're going around and you're telling everybody that this is totally fabricated, what else are you going to do? What else is going to happen that if I give you my trust and my confidence and we have access to information and you lied about what you've got, you're going to perhaps undermine me too? So this is something, it doesn't take too much in the way of reasoning to figure out why you're going to fail. And accountability is a big thing. I know we're just about out of time. You have four C's of interviewing. One, be calm, be clear, be convincing, be concise. And I think that when we can have integrity with ourselves, we're going to realize that not every job that we go and apply for is going to be the one and only. You also bring out the point, when you are doing interviewing, for heaven's sake, don't bash former employers. Don't act desperate. Conduct yourself with decorum. This is a new opportunity. This is a new experience. This isn't the time to verbalize your grudges and everything else, because that is going to be a big turnoff. You want
if you come in and, if you bash your former employer while you're in the middle of an interview, the person listening to you is thinking, well, what are they going to say if they do this to me? And that's what's going to bring you down. So it's very important that you find something good about that former boss or that former employer and try to work that into your conversation. But you never, never want to talk badly about them.
Abby, your book, Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets, is a wonderful resource for anyone. And I don't care what your age is. It's going to bring you up to date with the environment that we have today. And keep in mind, there are always going to be rough times. So when you are looking for something that is going to suit you, this is a book that is a toolkit for you to utilize and to sort of mark up. Absolutely, Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. You can go to meetabby.com, and you'll find out even more. Abby Coit, thank you very much for being my guest today. It's been a delight.
Thank you, Donna. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I look forward to helping all of these wonderful job seekers that you have on the line.
Have a magnificent summer. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back wherever you are. I hope you are enjoying an absolutely spectacular day. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we are astonished because we have got temps in the 90s. We so rarely ever have that. So we are just delighted with the fact that there's not a raindrop in sight for the moment. Hopefully it's off dripping somewhere in places that really need it, like Texas and some other areas of the country. But what I want to do is say for those of you that are on the line, I do have a caller waiting, I know, and I'll be with you momentarily, so please be patient. If you'd like to call and chat with me anytime during the next half hour, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Then let me share with you my intuitive skills and talents, and of course, you'll be able to ask a question about anyone or anything that you like. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello. Hello, Donna.
Hi, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada, and
Vancouver.
My name is Gigi.
Gigi? Oh, I love that name. It brings up the movie. I happened to see the movie Gigi just a couple of months ago. And for those of you...
You know, that's how I got my name.
Mom saw the movie.
That's how old I am.
I watched this film on television, and I said, oh, no wonder people fell in love with Gigi, Maurice Chevalier, and all the music. And oh, it was just great. It's a wonderful movie. Well, Gigi, let's get down to business with you. First thing, I want you to make your health a number one priority. Now, I don't think you need to become a hypochondriac. That's not a necessity here. But I really want you to pay attention, because for most of your life, you, like so many people, will just say, well, this is my chassis, and it's going, like the Energizer Bunny, and yeah, every once in a while, something goes awry, and I'll just use some duct tape and get on going. Well, you really need to be aware that if you want to have the mobility that you want, and if you want to have the energy that you desire, because there's a lot of things that you're interested in, you've got to take care of this chassis. So it's not just the fuel you put into this chassis of yours, but it's giving it the rest, it's giving it tender, loving, appreciative care. And you need to figure out what works for you. You don't need to go on any extreme path with yourself. You need to really have integrity with what is right for you, for your body, and for the changing that you're feeling physically. So if you make sure you have a good physical and have maybe a nutritional evaluation done, basic stuff, and just say, all right, I'm taking care of me. Put yourself first and foremost. You are going to do beautifully. But that's a tough thing for you to do, because you typically will put other people first. I want you to put yourself first. I want you to be totally selfish about this, because then you're going to be able to do good for others. Now, let's get down to the issue of money, because this is something you can manage money quite well, but you are finding that there is a stress level, and you're saying to yourself, I really want to be able to generate an income. I'm not looking to become a multi-gazillionaire, but what I want to do is have a stable source of income. Now, I am seeing for you two sources of income. One is going to evolve through an association with someone on the internet, and they're going to have a business of some kind. And I'm seeing them willing to tutor you, and you're going to say, gee, I might be able to do something like this on my own. How could I do it? What are the laws, the regulations, etc.? Do your homework. Then I am seeing you having what I consider a part-time job with a company or a group of people. It's not a big company. And you're saying, this is good, because with the online situation that I have, I can generate income, and I can do it whenever I'm able to do it. And then with the part-time job, I have certain assets that are certain benefits with a part-time job, where it's a physical location, and that's good too. Now, this is going to be very important for you, because you've got about a two-year shift here. And I want you to be aware of the fact that you're going to be getting educated. You're going to need to sign up for a class. You need to really become aware of what you want to do, how you want to do it, and the best way to do it. And so this is going to take you a little time. I don't want you to get so anxious that you try to do something and do a sloppy job. I don't want you to do that. So I want you to apprentice yourself, if you will, when the opportunity is given to you, to learn how people do certain things. And eventually, you'll be in a position maybe to hire out, you know, delegate to someone else to handle the electronic stuff that you want handled. But don't hesitate to apprentice yourself to someone that maybe needs some assistance, and you need to have that learning environment. It's a win-win. You might not get paid in the beginning, but you will be able to generate income later on. So be willing and open to step into areas of education. Your financial positioning is going to be pretty much the same for about the next 6 to 8 months. 2014 is going to be bringing more dollars into your household. It will come about because of the foundation that you're laying in place right now. Am I making sense to you?
Yes, you are. Because that was my question is about my work. I'm currently working full time for an engineering firm, but I took a cut in pay because we didn't win a certain bidding for a project. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I was doing very, very well the past 3.5 years. All of a sudden, I took a drop in pay. So what you're saying, it does make sense to me. I'm hoping to find work within the company that I'm at. So that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you feel that there's this chance?
Let me make a suggestion.
Will I get it?
Let me make a suggestion to you. If you have someone in human resources that you can perhaps take for a cup of coffee, I would ask them, if you were in my positioning and you really wanted to upgrade your skills, you're not talking about a better job. You're not looking at that. You're saying, if you wanted to upgrade skills, what would you recommend that I learn? Go to the people that have the inside track of what's going on in the company. And it could be a particular software system. It could be, well, we need to have someone that does X, Y, Z, or whatever. Let them talk, but specifically ask them about what would you recommend for education? What do you see that would be valuable to this company as skills? Because I really like working here. Can you see what I'm trying to show you?
Yes, yes, I do, I do.
And that is going to enable you, I believe. That's going to enable you to have an inside track. And that is so important. Also, if you have someone that is your supervisor, do this. I did it once many years ago, and it blew the supervisor's mind because very few people ever think of doing this. You are well-liked at your job. I'd go to your supervisor because they have appraisals that they do on, or evaluations, that's the proper word, evaluations on you and your work performance. Don't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
Go into your boss and ask your boss, what do you see as my strengths in my job positioning? And also, what do you see as weaknesses? If I could improve anything, what would you like for me to do? Do you have anything that you feel I can get better at? And listen. Don't take it personally. Just listen. And they may make some comments. You may say, gee, that's really good. I so appreciate you telling me that because I want to be able to do a better job. Don't mention anything about anything, just that you really want to improve your skills. So there you have two different resources. You can get one feedback from your supervisor. Maybe your supervisor has a bad day and say, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't worry about it. Don't tell your personally.
Actually, I have a problem with my supervisor. She's a micromanager.
That's all right. Why don't you ask? Think about someone who's a micromanager. That is a person that usually is very afraid because they are concerned that something might be missed. So you already have assessed this person. I want you to back away from the assessment. I want you to take a positioning saying, I would like for you to tell me how I could be better at my work. I guarantee you no one walks into your supervisor's office and ever asks them that.
Okay.
Think about it from the other side. Try to put yourself in the supervisor's shoes. Remember, the company has had cutbacks. That supervisor is terrified down deep. They may not have a job.
Right.
So how do you build your value within the company?
Okay.
Does that help you, dear?
That's good. Yeah, it does. You've said some great things, so, yeah.
I think you're
going to find some very
good things. You're more than welcome, and I'm so delighted you called in. And enjoy your summer.
Yes, you too. Thanks so much, Donna. I appreciate it.
You are more than welcome, and tell your friends about the show.
I will. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know you can call in, too. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 tomorrow. Let me tell you, we have so many different fascinating people on the Donna Sebo Show. Why? Because that's how I look at life. I feel there are so many areas of expertise, so many good people out there that are wanting to make a difference, and they take the time to write about what they know, and by golly, do you know it works. Because I'm able to bring these people to you, and they may never be featured, some of them, in a People magazine. Who cares? These are people that are walking the walk and talking the talk, and that is what Susie Cohen is going to be doing tomorrow. She's got a book that's just come out called Drug Muggers. Now, Susie is a 24-hour pharmacist. This woman knows the chemistry about pharmaceuticals, and she has a strong sense of commitment about understanding the pluses and the minuses of pharmaceuticals. What can we do to promote our own wellness? How can we do it? This woman is committed to being an educator. So instead of assuming things, we become questioners. Also, we open our minds to different alternatives. And then Anne DeMella is going to be with me on Wednesday. This is a woman of mature years that is enjoying a level of success with ebooks, and she is going to be chatting with us about what she's learned. She's a novelist. What If and If Only is her latest publication, so we'll be talking with Anne on Wednesday. The Art of Waging Peace, Paul Chappelle. This is an extremely powerful book, and I'm so grateful that Paul's going to be with us on the 4th of July. Yes, the Donna Sebo Show is going to be live on the 4th. The Art of Waging Peace. Paul is a West Point graduate, a soldier. This is a man who on the 4th of July is going to share his wisdom with us, and I guarantee you this book is awesome. So we're going to be talking with him. And then on Friday, we'll be talking with Eleanor Vincent, Swimming with Maya. And this is a story about her daughter and the experiences that she had. And I think it'll touch your heart and your mind. Now, I do have to say I wasn't able to get all of the bios up on PBS Radio. That is something I'll be able to do later today. But we will have that up so you can review all of the guests that are coming up on the show, and my newsletter went out. My newsletter is posted up on my website, so you'll get a gander at the people and the various topics we're going to be discussing. And as usual, it's very eclectic. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Give me a call, 888-627-6008, if you'd like to chat with me.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. You're getting ready for the 4th. You're getting up the barbecue, cleaning the deck, doing all kinds of stuff. Maybe you've already done it. I'm just getting to it. Here in the Pacific Northwest, usually we have quite a bit of rain even during this time of the year, but this year we got lucky. So the urge to get out and scrub everything up so you can be out in the sun and enjoy the beautiful, beautiful weather, boy, that's a priority. And a lot of my neighbors, along with me, are doing exactly that. And we are just relishing in it. The 4th is always such a fabulous holiday. And during this week, I'm going to be sharing some stories with you. And I want to share a particular story with you that I think is very, very special. And it's about Marcia Boniface. She's from the area of Delaware. And her husband was an Army officer, and he was killed in North Korea in 1976. He was right on the border, and of course, this lady is a mature lady, and at the time, she had three children when he was killed, And she said, without her friends and family at the West Point Military Academy, they just wouldn't have made it. It was just devastating to her. She was a young mother, and just like so many of our military families today, they've had a loss of a family member due to the aspects of war, and it is always, always very hard. And she said she heard about a center in 2010 for families of the fallen. Now, this is a new facility at Dover Air Force Base, and she said it was close to where she lived. And she said it is a place where families go to await the return of the loved ones who have fallen in action. She said because of what had happened with her husband and what she had gone through, she felt compelled to volunteer. And she said it just meant so much to her. She felt like she was giving back in a way that supported the young families of today, the men and women that need that support when they lose a loved one. And she said it just made her feel so very, very good. Now, there was a particular situation that occurred. There was an airman that brought some stuffed animals to her one day, and he said, would you make sure that the children of those whose family member has been killed, that they get these stuffed animals? And she said, sure, I'll be glad to. Well, when she was looking at the stuffed toys, she said, I don't know why, but there's got to be something we can do that's better. And the toys were given away, and she got an idea for the design of a teddy bear. And she got the pattern out that she wanted, and she loved to sew, and so she started making teddy bears. Well, her friends found out about it, and they wanted to use their own particular designs, and they started making these bears. Well, the word got out, and men and women who loved to sew decided they wanted to participate. Church groups joined in. To date, since she started doing this, they've given away nearly 2,000 bears to children that come with their parents to the center. And she said, fortunately, we don't need so many right now as we did before, but we donate them to other places, to other veteran facilities. And she said, what we feel that we're doing when we make these bears for our military family, we feel like they are honoring, we're letting these people know who have made the commitment to protect and to preserve the rights of our nation. She said, to let them know we appreciate them. One woman, a teddy bear, making a difference. You see, all of us have this capacity to making a difference. I was talking with a mother yesterday whose son just died 2 days ago. And her son knew he was dying, and he said, I want to make a difference. And because of what he's gone through, and now he has passed on, she's going to be carrying forward the knowledge that is needed perhaps by other families. Her son is going to make a difference in a way that she never, ever imagined. This is what can happen. Events occur in our lives so that we pick up a torch of action that compels us to move forward, to make this world a better place. You do that every day that you live and breathe in this experience we call life. I want you to know you make a difference. You're very important. And more than anything else, I'm so grateful that you are taking time out of your busy schedule to share your time with me. I love having you join me in morning in the Pacific Northwest. So wherever you are in this planet of ours, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Know, you make a difference. And I know there's a lot of sunshine beaming down on us right now because it's summertime, but I want you to know your light inside of you, well, it has a glow that's unequaled. Let it beam, won't you? It'll make a difference. maybe in ways that you will never know. Join me tomorrow, and we'll be talking about, well, a lot of good things. Won't you join me? Tell your friends. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.